On Tech News Today, Facebook announces the new ad network, among other things, at its F8 Developers Conference. And Samsung ships more smartphones than Apple, Huawei, Lenovo, and LG combined. All that and more coming up next.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, April 30th, 2014. This episode is brought to you by RingCentral, the cloud-based phone system we use here at Twit. And it just got better with the launch of Meetings, the full-service video conference feature. Zero startup costs, and RingCentral starts at under $25 a month per user. Try it now with a 30-day risk-free trial. Buy one desk phone and get a second phone free, up to 20 phones. Call 800-543-9980 or visit ringcentral.com and use our promo code TWIT. And by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster, easier, and cheaper. Post your job to 50-plus job boards with one click. Try ZipRecruiter for a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. At ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Mike Elgin.
And I'm Jason Howell.
Tech News Today explores the big stories of the day with some of the world's best journalists. We're covering live today Facebook's F8 Developer Conference, and we'll get into that in just one second. First, let me introduce the panel. First, of course, is Leo Laporte.
Hey, everybody.
The one and only who came from here. All the way from the other side of the room. Yeah. So thank you for that. Sure. And we also have two writers who cover Facebook, among other things. The first is Parmi Olson, who's a writer for Forbes. Welcome, Parmi.
Okay. Hi.
All right. Welcome aboard. We also have Zach Hall, who writes for 9to5 Mac. Welcome, Zach.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. Now, we're going to get right into the coverage. We understand that Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, is on stage now. So let's go ahead and cut over to that coverage.
More than 20% of all time spent in apps on phones is spent in Facebook apps. And the majority of our business is on mobile.
Look at that graph.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it can be annoying to build for mobile because the mobile ecosystem is so siloed. Apple has a vertical platform, Google has a vertical platform, Microsoft has a vertical platform, and then there's the mobile web, and there are others too. And these are all important platforms, and they're each growing. But the thing is, all of these companies are just trying to compete and make their own platforms better and more different from the others. No one has an incentive to help bridge the gaps between these platforms and make it easier to build on any of their competitors' platforms. But as a person using a phone, this is terrible. You know, I just want to be able to buy a phone and have all of the apps that I want work on it. And as developers, of course we want tools that work across all these different platforms. It's really annoying when we have to build the same thing 3, 4, 5 times just because of these different stacks. So our goal with Facebook is to build the cross-platform platform.
This is
and provide all of the tools that you need to bridge these different worlds.
Anybody had the resources to develop for those silos, it'd be this guy.
And
keep him on and keep him up, because I don't want to interrupt
Mark. Push notifications across platforms and app installs and even monetization. And this is what Facebook Platform is all about. Building the cross-platform tools that you need to build and grow and monetize your apps everywhere. Now, it's natural for us to focus on these things because a lot of these tools are the very same things that we've needed to build for ourselves in order to help more than a billion people connect across all these different systems. Now, as I said, we're really focused on building a stable mobile platform. And one thing you may not know,
they're probably going to base it on
all of our
Parse,
own mobile apps are built on top of the very same platform and APIs that you guys use when you're writing for Facebook.
Great to release
and all of our
that
engineers use the same tools and read all the same documentation that you do. So because of this, over the past few years, as our apps have grown, the number of requests that our platform handles has grown by 20x. We now handle almost 500 billion requests a day, which is a pretty ridiculous number when you think about it. And the thing is, when we've scaled, we've actually improved performance by more than 40% on average response time, and we've reduced the already small amount of downtime by more than 70% over the past few years.
Presumably talking about both desktop
really
and mobile.
It's important for you and for all of our teams internally that we build stable and efficient infrastructure that you can rely on for the long term. So this has been a really big focus for us.
And they've been fairly open, haven't they, Zach, with their mantra, with how they're doing this network scaling and so forth?
The idea here,
yeah, it's kind of weird to think about. You know, you have iOS and Android as platforms, but Facebook wants to stack on top of that and be kind of the platform within that and have their own like app ecosystems on there. And it's really interesting, kind of bypassing the two separate platforms.
These bugs was slowing us down more than we were actually improving our speed. So in the recent years, we've actually changed our strategy for moving faster. And now what we do is focus on building the best tools and infrastructure in the industry to build on top of.
Main thing they want to break is Google's hold on the mobile advertising market.
Quite the same ring to it.
Move fast and break Google. That's the new motto, by the way.
As patchy as move fast and break things. But, you know, it helps us build better experiences for all the people that we serve, and it's how we operate now.
Yeah, move fast and break things is good for apps. It's not good for platforms. Right. Platforms have to be solid and stable. And so I think in a way this is saying, and you just said it, we want to be a platform.
Stable and reliable for you to build on top of, to build, grow, and monetize your apps. Now, one problem that we all have.
And by the way, that stable infrastructure, that platform, is an ad platform, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the real point. And you pointed that out.
Yeah.
You know, so you want to be able to build something and just know that it's going to be able to work for a while. So today, for the first time, we're introducing a 2-year stability guarantee for all of our core APIs and platforms, including login and sharing.
Yeah. Apparently something developers wanted.
Yeah. So this means that that even if we change these core APIs in the future, we're guaranteeing that we're going to keep supporting them as is for at least 2 years and maybe longer from the time that we make that change. Now, we're still going to experiment with new features and different things, but we're going to clearly mark those as beta so you know what's going to be part of this core stable platform. We're also introducing API versioning. So, I mean, this is something that, you know, we want to make sure that all the apps that we all wrote 2 years ago keep working. And this is something that we've wanted internally as we've built on top of this platform. So now, every API that we launch is going to be versioned, and you're going to get to decide what version of the API you build against. We're also introducing an SLA that we're committed to fixing all major bugs within 48 hours.
Wow.
And, you know, this is something that we've always tried to move fast on. And the reality is we're usually even faster than this. But now, for the first time, we want to put in place...
SLA is service level agreement. It's typically the kind of thing that a platform or a cloud service provides and offers.
So it's a beta and comes with a 48-hour SLA.
All these things that we're doing. Hardening our platform for our own apps, improving performance, introducing a stability guarantee, adding API
versioning. The last F8 was 3 years ago. It was very consumer-focused. This is going right into the developer goodies.
So stability is the first theme that we're going to talk about today.
Exactly what you said in your post of a couple of days ago, that Facebook wants to see itself as a platform, as a mobile ad platform. It will have its own apps like WhatsApp and Instagram on top of that, and it sounds like they're going to encourage others to rest on that platform, realizing that a single monolithic web page is not the future.
That's right.
But
you want to harvest customer data everywhere.
Across platform.
And then deliver those ads that are customized.
It was really Google that invented this idea, providing all these services kind of initially unattached, only recently fully attached, that they could advertise across. And the more you used any of their services, the happier they were.
And Google was first at being pretty good at understanding what you really wanted. They're still not great, but Facebook used to be horrible, and they're getting much better, much faster.
The difference here is, it sounds like Mark's saying, they don't just have to be Facebook apps. They could be apps from anybody.
Absolutely.
Use our platform.
That's right.
This is really the Microsoft strategy, except it's moved to the cloud.
And that's what he really means by cross-platform. He's going to have this network everywhere.
And that's bad for them, and it's bad for you. It will prevent people from having good personalized experiences and trying out new things. But it also might hurt you and prevent you from getting some new potential customers. So we need to do everything we can to put people first and give people the tools they need to be able to sign in and trust your apps.
That's Facebook Connect, of course.
Now we know that some people are scared of pressing this blue button.
Yeah, trust is the focus here.
Yeah, sure.
You probably, a lot of you have maybe even had personal experiences where you felt this. It's some of the most common feedback that we get on our platform. And the reality is, if you're using
Google
an app,
Google dropped the plus from its Connect with Google. It's not just
apparently in developer documents, it's starting to show up as just sign in with Google.
So last year we took the step of separating out read and publish permissions to make it so that apps can no longer require you to give them the right to publish to all their friends, all your friends.
Thank God. That was always a very scary little clause in those agreements.
Yeah. Now, Parmi, you wrote an article about Facebook preparing a money transfer service. Is this connected to the platform he's talking about now, do you think?
Well, Facebook, from what I've heard, has already kind of got the regulatory approval that it needs to be a money transfer service in multiple states in the U.S. already. It's kind of done that quite quietly. Now it's doing that in Europe. So you can imagine as it builds out this platform, monetizes a platform, particularly through apps. I mean, think about app developers who are already struggling to monetize on Android. They do quite well on iOS. Mm-hmm. If Facebook can help them to monetize, they'd love that.
Mark admits to loving Lana Del Rey, and this we knew. Who does?
He also kills his own food.
I can just uncheck these boxes, and I'm done.
What they were selling initially is frictionless sharing.
That's right. That didn't work.
Didn't work. Bug people. So now it no longer can, you know, you can, it doesn't automatically share to your stream.
There's no extra friction.
Oh, it's still frictionless.
Oh, good.
Here's the good news.
More people be comfortable.
Just less spam. Less oversharing.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, we've heard really clearly that you want more control over how you're sharing.
Sounds oxymoronic, but frictionless rubs me the wrong way.
But we've also heard that sometimes you can be surprised when one of your friends shares some of your data with an app. And the thing is, we don't ever want anyone to be surprised about how they're sharing on Facebook. I mean, that's not good for anyone. So we're going to change how this works. And in the past, when one of your friends logged into an app, in this case, Ilya, the app could ask him not only to share his data, but also data that his friends shared
with him. I think it's just a generic app that's
It says any pic.
So now we're going to change this. And we're going to make it so that now everyone has to choose to share their own data with an app.
This
themselves.
Is a direct response to the privacy concerns.
A really important
people.
Step for giving people power and control over how they share their data with apps. And as developers,
it'll be interesting to see if this privacy theme carries over to Google I/O this year.
I bet it will. I mean, I think both companies have to respond to the creepy factor, and they, you know, it's clear they want you to share data with them. They want to provide a cross-platform, cross-app platform. Both companies are now in very similar businesses, aren't they?
That's right.
How many times have you installed an app and wanted to try it out, but you haven't wanted to create a brand new account or you're not yet ready to sign in with your real identity? Today, we're going to solve this with a new service that we're introducing called Anonymous Login.
Oh. Anonymous login.
Oh, this is actually a great idea.
And the idea
because
here
you're not
is
anonymous
that, you
know, to Facebook. Let's make this very clear.
That's right.
You still want a
pseudonymity where the company that you signed up for knows who you are, but nobody else does.
Yeah, Facebook knows who you are, but no one else does. Exactly.
I was calling for Google to do this on Google Plus 2 years ago, and they never did.
And will course, consumers understand the distinction? I mean, anonymous sounds anonymous, but in fact, what you're doing is you're giving Facebook all the signals it wants.
The vocal influencers will understand it, and they're the ones who would kill it if you didn't do it right.
Right.
Which is possible because we'll provide an anonymous identifier, even if we're not telling the app who you are. So you're going to be able to have an experience that's synced without the app actually even knowing who you are for the first time.
You'll have a unique
this
ID.
Is let you
there's no question
try
about
apps
that.
Without fear.
They're monopolizing the knowledge of who the user is.
Exactly.
That's brilliant.
You're not sharing it with the app anymore.
That's right.
And they'll keep it.
They're rolling it out as a user benefit.
And this is for your...
That's
for you.
That's right.
Anonymous login. We're really excited about this one, too.
And, of course, if you're an app maker that wants to collect data, you're out of luck.
Right.
And anonymous
this is, of course, what Apple has been doing all along.
That's right. Examples of putting people first in the way that we design this platform. By giving people more power and control, they're going to trust all the apps that we build more.
We harvest
and over time
data from
use
people
them
first.
More.
See, this is the problem with spinning it this way
these
is that you and I know that it's still to Facebook's benefit.
That make Facebook platform. Our place in the world is to build this stable mobile bridge
feels
across
a little self-serving.
All these different worlds.
Yes.
And these are just
I think anonymous may be too strong of a word there, too.
Of the type of things
you're not really
building.
Anonymous.
Right.
Only to Flipboard are you anonymous.
All the other things that we've been working on to help you build, grow, and monetize.
But it's an important word. They need to use that word, I think.
I'd like to hand it off to Ilya Sukar.
And really, in practical reality, if you already use your real identity on Facebook, what's the difference? It's still a benefit.
Right. Well, and I think that's the thing both Google and Facebook need to kind of somehow convince people of, is the value of that.
Yes.
But it's hard to do, as I've seen.
As many of you know, building things is hard.
This is Ilya Sukar. He's a project manager of Keynote at Facebook. I'm not sure what that means.
And every time the world of computing gets a little bit more exciting, a little bit more magical, new technology, new devices, the challenges for developers increase.
He used the word magical.
There's new programming languages, new platforms, new devices, new versions, new things to think about.
I wouldn't be surprised if this feature is going to be accompanied at some point by a tightening up of the need to be honest with Facebook about who you are. Remember a few years ago they wanted your passport and your driver's license and stuff like that? I mean, they still want that, I'm sure.
Well, you see why both Google Plus and Facebook really want real names.
Yes.
So Keynote, by the way, is the code name for the New Look news feed that was released last year. So this is the guy who does the news feed, basically.
And there it is, Parse. Yeah.
We were reinventing the wheel over and over again with things that every app needs, infrastructure, functionality, that doesn't differentiate one app from another. No consumer actually notices this stuff. It either works or it doesn't. And they certainly notice if it doesn't, and that's no good. What am I talking about?
So one of the slides contained Mark Zuckerberg's email address, which is mz@fb.com.
Whoops.
But we won't tell anyone, Mark.
Things like data models and sessions and
shortest possible.
Yes.
And you have to do this for every platform, for iOS, for Android, for Windows Phone, for the web, for every version of Android, for every version of iOS, for every phone out there, for every network out there. It's crazy. And then finally, there's your app, the thing that you care about, the thing that's different, the thing that's unique. This is the thing that you should be focused on. This is the thing that matters. You might have some engaging UI, some unique content, some amazing functionality that's different, the thing that matters. And that's what Parse is all about. We make it easy to focus on that, the thing that will actually get you users and maybe even make you money, the thing that matters. And Parse takes care of all of the rest. You don't have to reinvent the wheel over and over again. So we have three products. We have Parse Core, which takes care of your data, your servers, your user accounts, your operations.
This is, we have Parse these are Push, tools for developers to rest on the Facebook platform.
For any device, for any platform, you don't have to think about which thing people are carrying in their pockets, whether it's a tablet, a phone, whatever it is. And then we have analytics to help you understand what's going on with your app, and how your user
base
is.
I wonder if this is based on HTML5 or.
You need to actually get your app off the ground and focus on that one important slice, the actual app. Let me show you how this works with an example.
Mark, remember, was very bitter about using HTML5 for the Facebook apps, and a couple that I think was the last F8 said that was a mistake.
That's right.
Maybe it's come along.
The core functionality here is pretty straightforward. It's the schedule. You can see what's going on for the rest of the day. And you can favorite certain talks and get a personalized schedule so you can know where to be at any given time. Pretty cool.
Is that an iPhone 4?
So what is Parse works,
3GS
how it enables this
on the left?
App.
What is?
I'm going to show some code.
I think it's at least a 5, but the battery life on it is really zapped.
It's dying. It looks a little rounded. It's been a while since I've used one.
Just have used Objective-C in another context. You can't do very much with four lines of Objective-C.
Objective-C, of course, is Apple's programming language.
It's really not that succinct. But these four lines of Objective-C are special. These four lines are Parse Core. And in these four lines, we can persist the fact that a user has favorited a talk.
In fact, that giant computer behind him is a MacBook Air, I believe.
Caching, schemas, any of that stuff. All of those things that I listed, it's just four lines of code. It's really dead simple. You can do incredible things with just a few lines of code. Parse Push, similar, this time in Java, a little bit better, 8 lines. And these 8 lines.
So if you just tuned in, this is a special Facebook F8 Developers Conference version of Tech News Today, and we are listening to the live keynote and making comments about it.
And Parse Analytics.
Keynote is available unannotated, by the way, and I always say this on Facebook's site. What's that URL, Jason? It's facebook.com/.
To my heart's content. We have all these tools to build great apps across every single platform.
I think it's FBF8, but I'm not sure.
We have iOS, We have Android, Windows Phone, we have Unity. Might be
yeah, FBF8.com.
No, simple. FBF8.
We have everything you need. So wherever you are right
from
now,
MZ at FB.com.
You can rest assured that we have
.net,
a platform available for you.
There. OS 10, iOS, Android, JavaScript,
Windows Phone.
So we joined about a year ago. It's been an awesome
did
year.
Did you see Windows Phone in there?
It's crazy.
I did.
Huh? Wow.
And we came in the door with 60,000 apps. And that was pretty cool. But now we have 260,000 apps. We've almost tripled our user base and have served so many more apps. We've onboarded over 140,000 new developers.
This is the Connect platform, is it? I mean,
it must be.
Must be. What else could?
Yeah.
There we go. 140 everywhere, all over the world. So if you're one of them, welcome. I'm excited to be working with you. We're going to build some awesome stuff, and you're not going to have to think about all of the nitty-gritty. If you're not...
Yes, Johnny B., onboarded is a real word in Silicon Valley, in the Silicon Valley version of English.
All kinds of verticals. Soon to be in the Oxford English Dictionary.
You've got folks like you don't target people with ads. Serve them relevant ads.
Gaming companies like Plarium.
Okay, now we're seeing. Yeah, this is, these are the apps using Facebook Connect for the login.
Although there's plenty of those as well.
Not desktop. I'm sure there's much more than 140,000 websites that use Facebook.
I hope we can help you with your dream.
Even Sesame Street's app.
No matter who you are, I think you're going to like some changes we're making today. We've made our pricing radically simpler, cheaper, and more predictable.
New pricing.
We've expanded our free tier to make it even easier to get started with Parse and to grow on Parse as you get bigger and better. Parse Core now offers
this is all about Parse.
Up to 30 per second.
Somebody in the chat room pointed out that icon is a hydrogen atom. Unlimited push notifications just to up to a million curious. People.
That's a lot of people. If you need more of that, you just log into our dashboard and change a little slider.
Parse was an acquisition, by the way, by Facebook about a year and a half ago.
Yes.
Or a year ago, exactly.
So if you're an existing customer...
It's mobile back-end as a service startup. That's called MBAS, for those of you who have recently onboarded.
The high-level takeaway from all of this, for those of you who want to get onboarded with the announcement so far, is that Facebook is a platform that crosses operating system platforms for developers to create apps that also serve up ads, harvest data, but puts the user in charge when they use these apps. They can have more control over what they share and who they share it with, et cetera. So it sounds really compelling, especially for developers. Not very compelling if you are Apple, Google, or somebody else who's trying to do something similar, who's trying to cross these lines and also be a mobile advertising company.
The speaker is Ilya Sukar, who was the CEO of Parse and was an acquirer last year, and apparently now in charge of Keynote, which is the Facebook newsfeed. But it seems to me like he's developer relations for the entire Facebook platform at this point.
And once you have people in the door, you need to understand, are they coming back? Are they coming back the next day? Are they coming back the next week? Are they coming back the next month? You can't just have a lot of growth.
So Parse is more than just Connect. It offers, I'm reading up on it now, back-end services, including data storage, you saw notifications, and user management would be the Connect portion of it.
Yeah.
So this is an interesting kind of change. Number of users has doubled since Facebook acquired them.
Right.
More than doubled.
They consider Parse, quote, part of the Facebook platform. So Facebook itself... of course, is a platform in their minds. And it allows developers to work with native objects to provide back-end services for data storage, notifications, user management, and more.
So look forward to more stuff from analytics. So I'm going to change gears a bit. We've all been here.
Many of the Parse team is actually former Googlers. Not Ilya.
At the coffee shop, to check our email. There's times when we just don't have a connection, or it's really flaky.
He's a Y Combinator graduate.
So you know what I'm talking about.
A little agreement from the audience. Really flaky.
It's another mystery apart. iPhone.
Suddenly you're
screen.
Left with a calculator.
It's not a 5.
It's like a...
It's got a Touch ID on the bottom there.
Is it? Okay. Does that look like a 5? I guess it does. It's tall.
Has the TV screen ratio.
It's a 5S.
Sideways.
Yeah, I guess you're right. All right, Zach. You win. Probably get a bird watching, too.
It's just really hard. And most developers start out small. And so they don't have the resources. They wait until they have more. And so, by and large, only the best, largest companies focus on this. And everything else doesn't work quite so well. And for many people, this is frustrating. It's frustrating for me. It's frustrating for that guy. But for many people, this is the default. People are just coming online. And for them, offline is the default. They occasionally get connectivity. And so we need to do better by them. We need to make it easier to build great offline apps.
This guy's kind of interesting. His family moved to Silicon Valley from Moscow in 1989. He's a relatively recent immigrant to the United States. A solo founder at Y Combinator in 2011. And you got to think Parse was built to be acquired.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the common database and so forth really doesn't scale very well unless you have a big company like Google or Facebook behind you. Or Amazon or Rackspace.
Or who are just getting online and only have a phone and a connection every once in a while. So those are the Parse updates. We've grown a bunch. We've got new, cheaper, simpler, more predictable pricing. We've got new analytics stuff to understand how your app's doing and if people are coming back. We've got great offline-enabled SDKs. Check everything out at parse.com. Now I want to talk
Parse
about
Parse is about $200 a month for 15 million requests, 5 million pushes. So it's fairly affordable, but they're going to make it even more affordable.
I've been working with the URL for as long as I can remember. The URL is just beautiful. It made the web beautiful. The web is still beautiful.
Ask Tim Berners-Lee. He said, I never thought anyone would ever see a URL.
Yeah.
It's machine readable.
Sending it to people on email.
And he regrets www.
Yeah, even deeply. But he didn't think humans would see it.
Yeah.
Facebook, certainly. And even MySpace. I mean, every communication platform that has existed, still exists, will exist, is going to use the URL.
Really,
it's a shame that it's technically not really the URI. A big deal on mobile right now. Why is that? Let's take a look. We've got all these apps, but they're stuck in their own silos. So Quip is one of my favorite apps these days. It's a great mobile-enabled document editor. So I use it to collaborate. I use it to share things with my friends and family, to plan things. And when people paste web links into the document, it works great on the desktop. You click it, and just like you know we've been doing for decades, the browser opens up, and I do my thing. But when I open up links that are going to, say, SoundCloud for music or Goodreads for books on my iPad, what happens? Well, I get stuck. I get stuck in a mobile web browser. I get stuck logging in. I probably can't even listen to the music. I can't get to actually what I want to do.
The idea of trust as a theme of F8 was actually rumored on Secret.
Once again, the value of Secret.
Yeah.
For true and false rumors.
That's right. And even the false ones might end up being true anyway. Yeah. It's kind of an obvious thing because nobody trusts Facebook at present.
Right.
Makes sense
Good
that they
guess.
Push for that.
I think anonymous Facebook Connect is actually a big story.
I do.
This is really for developers now. This is to convince developers that they should be using this platform for their apps. And that's, you know, there's two paths for Facebook at this point. Really, there's three paths. There's the old path, which is we are Facebook, you know, a monolithic entity that you log into, and now we know everything about you.
Mm-hmm.
The newer path is we are Facebook, and we've acquired WhatsApp and Instagram and a variety of other applications. But this seems like the best growth strategy, which is provide a strong platform and let 140,000 apps use Facebook. We don't need to acquire any more apps. We merely need to provide them with a platform that'll let them go cross platform like this.
Their specialty now is, we know everything about your customers, and we know their quote-unquote social graph, We right. have all this data. We're not going to share it with you.
Back end like crazy.
That's right.
So you don't have to worry about databasing.
Right. And if you look at the technology that they have acquired or have developed for knowing who people are, it's really quite impressive. For example, their face recognition algorithms. They're very quickly getting to the point where they can recognize a human face as well as a human being can. And so when your face shows up in different places, they'll be able to say, oh, look, that's Leo Laporte.
Right.
And without, you know, anything else. So that's part of knowing who you are. And this whole idea of you know, their proposition to the user is you tell us everything about yourself and let us harvest all this information and we'll keep it secret for you.
Right. Trust us. You don't need to trust anybody else. This is interesting. He's showing a new link scheme that I've never seen on the iPad.
Yeah, that's interesting. Reading about it online and they're showing app-to-app linking where you can open one app to the other. And that's kind of filling in the gaps of what people want with future versions of iOS 8.
Gee, I wonder, though. I mean, doesn't Apple have to allow this? It seems, you know, Apple has been very careful about how applications communicate with one another. Maybe this will only work with applications that are using the Parse platform.
Kind of the promise of HTML5 and the mobile web, wasn't it?
That sure, but exactly
going through browser.
Exactly what Apple didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Pardon me. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
Actually, I was going to add one other thing about the logging in anonymously thing. It's not too different from what other big mobile ad networks are already doing. Like Flurry is probably one of the biggest out there. They have an ID for each user that they track based on all the behavior that they collect on how we use different apps. And so in a way, advertisers still, they don't need to know our names. They just need to know our behavior. So that's already, Facebook is just going to copy that. And in addition to that, also give the even more rich identifiable data to advertisers, assuming that users opt into that with Facebook Connect.
And lastly, our open source SDKs that you can just drop in have one line of code to send your user over to another app to give it all the context it needs to send it. Send
now the slides
right
have lots and lots of code
from,
in them.
And that's it.
Yeah, it's a developer conference.
Yeah.
It's one line of code. Super simple.
I have to think that only works with other apps that are on the platform.
We're really excited that we've partnered with a lot of great partners. We've got
or apps
content
that
available today for you to link to. So if you have an app that could benefit from
Flickr, Hulu.
So this is not OS level on iOS. It can't be. Apple won't do it.
Interesting. Pinterest is one of them. Yeah. They've made all of their Facebook competitor, sort of.
Yeah, you're.
And how is Apple to the mobile to Facebook Connect? Is it just Facebook, like apps that already have Facebook Connect that would allow this linking thing?
I'm trying to.
If it's a new link on top of that.
I think you need an iOS expert because I'm trying to think of how the mechanism would work. And the idea of passing data from one app to another is not very well. I don't think very well supported on iOS.
Yeah, there's already support for URL schemes, apps like Launch Center Pro and Drafts, where you can. It's really tweaky and kind of geeky and customizable, but it's not user friendly really. But you can do some cool stuff already, jumping between apps like that.
Right.
This looks like a much friendlier version of that. And just recently, Hulu and IMDb teamed up with the IMDb update on iPhone, where you can look up a show and then tap it if it's on Hulu and jump over and watch it there. This looks like
it's a custom URI scheme on desktops. So, you'll have, for instance, one of them, if you've got a podcast client registered like iTunes, podcast:// launches it. And on desktops, that's an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
On mobile, it's a little more tricky. I think Android has a way of registering custom URIs. I'm not sure what's going on iOS.
Everything's available on applinks.org. It's all open.
Something else worth noting is in the recent Messenger updates for at least on iPhone, if you're in Facebook Messenger, you can jump back over to the Facebook app. They put kind of like the current call bar, but it's a big blue bar and it says jump back to Facebook. So if you tap a new message in the Facebook app, you go over to Messenger, then you go right back to it. So it's almost like we've seen kind of hints of this and they're going to open it up to other developers now.
This apps link is free, by the way, and it's also open source. So as you saw, one line of code. So this is a real kind of a little bit of candy to give developers to get them into the platform.
Yeah.
The idea is seamless browsing between apps, but the whole time you're staying within the Facebook universe, which is what
clever.
You have a kid come up to you.
So now on stage is Ime Archibong.
He's the music guy at Facebook.
How do I it's good work if you can get it.
Yeah. He also did paper.
It's a frustrating moment for me because I know the one thing that they need is the one thing that I actually can't provide or teach them. Can't teach a kid how to grow. Just can't do it.
He's the lead on strategic partnerships.
In fact, similarly, many of you struggle with growth challenges, but thankfully, when I have those conversations, they end a little bit more optimistically with you. Conversation starts off the same. You're asking... I'll wait for my slide. Here we go. So similarly, kids, you guys are asking, how do you stand out from your peers? How do you stand out from the 2 million apps that exist across the app stores? And ultimately, how do you grow? But that's when I get excited. Because I know that
Facebook helps developers with growth hacking.
Both organic and paid to help you take your app to the next level and help your app grow. So I'm going to talk through a couple of those, but let's start with the organic tools.
Ime Archibong has been at Facebook since before its IPO.
And he's fully vested, you'll be glad to know.
Yes.
Drives a lovely... No, I'm just kidding. But he's the guy who deals with Apple. He's the guy who deals with the big companies and presumably some of the smaller ones.
Yep.
So what are those problems? A number of you still have a tremendous amount of people visiting your web experience every single day.
Director of Strategic Partnerships.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with web traffic by any stretch of the imagination. But these are the same users that you hopefully would want engaging with your native mobile app. Especially if mobile is where your product roadmap is focused, especially because mobile is going to be the thing that's going to be
driving your product. Who will play him on HBO series Silicon Valley?
So it's a solution we built Send to Mobile, which is a quick and easy way to start to funnel some of that desktop traffic to your native mobile experience. So let's say I'm in the RDO app. I'm logging in via Facebook on the web.
Again, Facebook knows everything about you wherever you are. Facebook app. So next time I fire this is up, nice. This is kind of built-in push.
The benefits here are really, really clear, right? I'm not searching through the 2 million apps to try to find your application.
I think you're right. Patrick Delahanty says Wayne Brady will play him.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
And that's where you want them in mobile.
Music is an interesting source of user data because you can actually learn a lot about a person by the music they listen to, how often, how much time they spend listening to music, and who they share it with. That's valuable data, especially if you're trying to sell stuff. You can often... figure out what people wear, where they live, what language they speak, et cetera, by what music they listen to. Nobody does that well yet, but that is a potential future use for music-related data.
So it's finally here. I'm excited to announce...
Mobile-like.
Mobile-like button.
Now, how would that work? I guess if it's on a website. Again, this probably uses that.
Who's either logged into Facebook on your app
scheme.
Or not, to share their content of your app and your app back with a broad group of their friends across Facebook. So say I'm in TechCrunch's app, and they've added the mobile like button to this article. An easy, lightweight way, they've empowered me to be an evangelist for their app's content, with a broad group of my friends across Facebook.
Nice plug
for
TechCrunch.
The mobile like button is currently in beta, but we're rolling out over the next couple weeks. So now you have someone that's engaged in your mobile application. You also have given them the power to share more broadly with their friends across Facebook. But you still have one more problem. People want the ability to share privately with a close group of friends, or maybe just one-on-one with a brother or a sister.
I got 99 problems with sharing with a brother, ain't one.
That's right.
Which is a quick and easy way for people to share your content through the Messenger app.
There's no reason to say that.
But once again, they are highly sensitive to the need or desire for people to share privately.
Private, yeah.
Because people are leaving Facebook because they want to go to Snapchat or some other place where it feels really private.
Remember, Facebook tried to acquire Snapchat, was rebuffed, created Poke, which nobody wanted.
That was a $3 billion offer, as I recall, and they turned it down.
Yeah.
I would have taken it.
Now they wish they had.
Nice reminder to let them know not to share it more broadly with all our friends and keep it close to chest.
This is very much like Google Plus.
Yeah.
So these three new mobile
In a way, it's kind of what Apple wanted to do with Ping. Remember Ping? Which is a social network essentially based around music. This messaging feature that he's talking about now, this is really what Apple was getting at and failed with. The idea that you'd have a social interaction and social groups and sharing around music.
So today, I'm really, really excited to announce a new program that Facebook has put together with a group of partners to help you with these needs. The program is called FB Start.
FB Start.
This is a program that's going to provide you with up to $30,000 in free tools and services to help you get your app off the ground and running fast. So alongside of Facebook and Parse, there's about 11 other great companies that have come to the table to bring you this program. There's BlueJeans for your communication needs, MailChimp for your marketing needs, Salesforce for your customer service needs, and Appirify for your mobile testing needs. All of these partners truly believe in supporting startups and making sure that you can focus on the thing that you need to do and you want to do, which is build great products.
Facebook already has a fairly active venture capital arm as well.
The first is Bootstrap, which provides about $5,000 of these free tools and services to help you get your app going and started. If you already have
we're hoping that F8 would have really kind of more information about what Facebook was planning for the future. But this is clearly a message to developers, but from which we can kind of deduce a new strategy for Facebook. Facebook is a platform.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah. Although, if one of the things with the music that they were showing was when Ping did launch, right off the gate there was Facebook support, but they quickly pulled it within a few hours, I think.
Yeah. Jobs announced it at the time. And they flipped the switch. Probably thinking, why would we do this? Why would we? This is really what's challenging for Apple and Microsoft going forward is the old regime is kind of focused on privacy and not focused on the cloud particularly. Although Microsoft has a strong cloud offering, Apple does not. Why don't we take a break? We're going to come back. Just a couple of program notes. Windows Weekly will be on in a little bit later, probably 11:30, about 45 minutes from now. Maybe sooner if nothing more interesting happens at F8. Those of you who have gone to our webpage and noted that it's down, we know that. We are working hard on that. But we still have live.twit.tv, which is an independent place to watch live. And, of course, all the apps are continuing to work. And this is a strong argument for us moving to the Facebook platform, so we will.
Yes. And you can click the like button on a mobile device. Won't that be exciting? Well, let's go ahead and do our ad. RingCentral, one of our sponsors today. RingCentral, of course, is the phone system, the cloud-based phone system that we use here at Twit. And, of course, one of the advantages of launching a new company within the last few years is you have the cloud for everything. And that's, of course, what Leo did when he built a Twit. Everything in the cloud, as much as possible in the cloud. And, of course, in the old days, if you wanted to have a phone system, you had to have a PBX system, which is a big, ugly, expensive, difficult to maintain a system for managing a business phone organization. So RingCentral frees you from all of that and enables you to put it all in the cloud. And now RingCentral has something really great. It's called Meetings. So in addition to all that we love about RingCentral, the receiving voicemails through email, sending and receiving fax messages from our smartphones. I really like that. I hate fax machines. No need to not do it in the cloud. The auto receptionist who greets our callers and so on. Now with Meetings, you can host face-to-face meetings in high definition and share desktop documents with anyone, anytime, anywhere on any device. It's really, really great. So RingCentral offers all-inclusive pricing under $25 a month per user. So it's really great for small businesses starting out or medium-sized businesses, businesses of any size that want a much more flexible and less expensive and easier to manage and maintain phone system. You can start right now with a 30-day risk-free trial, and they have a special offer for listeners of Tech News Today. When you buy one desk phone, you get a second phone free up to 20 phones. So call this number designated for listeners of Twit and Tech News Today, 800-543-9980. That's 800-543-9980. Or you can go to RingCentral and use the promo code TWIT. This is Mike Elgin and Leo Laporte, and guests covering the Facebook F8 conference. This is really all about developers. The last F8 conference that we heard was 3 years ago, actually, when Facebook launched a number of consumer-facing initiatives. This time around, there's some stuff in there, information for consumers, but you have to parse it out from all the language and pitches for the developers present and also not present. They're building a big platform. They're allowing anonymous, what they're calling anonymous logins. It's not really anonymous. The idea is that Facebook knows all of your personal information, your ID information, and then you don't have to share it with the companies that that are buying into their system. So it's really an interesting set of, no pun intended, developments at F8, and we are continuing with this. And at some point, we'll check in with them a little bit more and see how it's going with the conversation, see if they're having any more consumer-facing.
It seems very developer-focused.
It is very developer-focused. Right now, they're talking about the advertising part of it. And, of course, we're expecting for Facebook today to launch a number of initiatives that they haven't specifically gone into huge amounts of detail with, some of them rumored, some of them especially strongly rumored to the point where, you know, you can pretty much rely on them. And we're talking about an ad network and also a financial scheme that would essentially put them into competition with PayPal and their ilk, a way to buy things. And I think that's ultimately the end game for anyone who, like Facebook, is in the identity business. If you're in the identity business and you have a way to verify who somebody is, you're going to want to get into commerce. And I personally believe that the 800-pound gorilla in the near future in this market will be Apple. And the reason for that is because Apple has everybody's credit card. They have twice as many credit cards as Amazon does on file. So if you're going to use a Facebook scheme for any sort of online commerce or brick-and-mortar commerce, you're going to have to hand over some financial information at some point. And they've got a long way to go before people are ready to do that and before they can collect a significant mass of users. Apple, on the other hand, has a huge number of active accounts where people have active credit cards on file. They also have iBeacons. They have a number of things.
Despite the fact they've had this for some time, they have never used it anything outside the Apple ecosystem. And I think that there is a natural reluctance at Apple to do that. Natural reluctance also with partners, because Apple will want its 30% or some.
That's right.
Some percentage.
It will be relatively high, no doubt.
Moving on now on F8 on the stage.
Yeah.
Thank you, Imei.
We'll see what she's going to announce, and then we'll make a call as to whether or not we continue with this.
For developers at Facebook. You know, I spend a lot of time talking to developers.
Deb Liu.
A lot of them ask me beyond how to grow.
Liu. She's product management director for Keynote. Why do they name it after Apple's presentation software?
Money is the lifeblood of your business. She's really the ad person for mobile.
It's what helps you hire that next engineer. It's what helps you build that next app. It's just how you keep the lights on in your office.
Money.
So I'm here to talk about monetization and how we can help.
And it's why I'm at Facebook.
Money.
We have been helping developers.
So this is, she's going to tell how Facebook's going to help all these app developers monetize their apps. This was one of those sure themes that we knew was going to happen at this event, which is that helping them with monetization, they're really going to be driving this.
And over the past 5 years,
and user trust. Money and user trust. The big things.
Remember, Facebook has, you know, well north of a billion active users. Getting them to enter the credit card once is probably not going to be that hard. And once having done so, they now have a database that exceeds Apple's. So it doesn't seem like that's a real barrier to entry to Facebook.
I don't know, though, Leo. A lot of you have to look at who those users are. Facebook and Google, both companies, drive a lot of users through these programs that they have in the third world, where they essentially subsidize people's phone usage, their data, as long as they're using either Facebook or Google. But Apple's user base, the people who have their credit cards on file with Apple, this is the sweet spot of the market. These are people who buy Apple products. They have lots of money relative to other demographics. And, you know, it took them years and years to acquire that through the necessity of, if you wanted to use iTunes and if you wanted to buy anything or download anything that wasn't free, at some point you had to give your credit card. And so I think it's a harder problem than it sounds. Yes, they have a lot of users, but those users are not in love with Facebook the way that Apple users are in love with Apple. They love to use Facebook because their friends and family might be there. But I think that's a more difficult problem than it may seem at first blush. That's just my own
personal. Zach, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, just to comment on what Mike was saying, it seems like if you listen to the last conference or earnings call from Apple, they're moving towards maybe losing some of that ground for having customers that do pay a lot of money with the 4S especially. That's really their low-end phone even compared to the 5C in some of these other markets. But Tim Cook did announce that they had nearly 800 million users, most with credit cards, so at least half of those with credit cards. And they have my credit card, but Facebook does not. And even though Facebook has 1.2 billion users, they don't have my card. I don't think that a lot of people have given them their card. So I think today we're seeing trust and money. I think trust is way more important before you can really get serious about money.
What do you think it would take for people to hand over their credit card information en masse?
I think they'd buy M-Pesa.
Yeah, on the app, you know, for iTunes.
Yeah, they could buy it.
You want to buy something, you want to buy music or movies or apps on Facebook. You can do things like gift cards to people on their birthdays, and that's a really nice trend. You can pay to send someone that isn't your friend a message to their other inbox. But there needs to be, you know, maybe partnerships with places like radio and Spotify where they can say, pay with Facebook as your credit card and pay at a discounted rate. And that's a pretty good
incentive. I don't think that's a tough hurdle. I really don't.
I think the trust is the biggest issue there.
People trust
with
Facebook.
Trusting them
we may
with
not trust
card.
Facebook, but I think people trust Facebook. Although Facebook had that Facebook Gifts program, which was a way to collect credit cards and killed it. The so-called virtual gifts and then real gifts, and apparently wasn't successful enough to keep alive.
They also had Facebook credits, both gifts and credits failed, essentially.
That's right.
Yeah, trust is still an issue from what I see with at least our readers at 9to5 Mac. With every acquisition that we report, an overwhelming number of the response in comments is, well, you know, I'm going to find a replacement for this service or app. Most recently with Moves.
Right.
I mean, it's just a fitness tracking app. People were concerned about Facebook having their location.
Yeah, I remember when Facebook bought Instagram, there was this mass exodus, but I don't think, in fact, their usership went up.
No.
And I don't think the real people who use Facebook, who really aren't the geeks, are too concerned. They may be more concerned in general with online purchases.
Yeah.
Let's watch this. What are they talking about?
And the other... Who has three kids who sing the song Let It Go at the top of their lungs. Imagine our system couldn't tell the difference, how that would hurt the advertiser and the experience that people have on our site. But you know, we've been able to solve that problem for advertisers and for people. And that's what makes it great. We are bringing together the most demand, the best targeting system, and today we bring you in. We are excited to announce the Audience Network.
The Audience Network. This is their...
We bring it all together for
you. Yeah, Facebook Audience Network is what the expected mobile ad network was predicted to be called.
You don't have to find out who in your app is...
So this is Facebook's MoPub.
You don't have to parse your audience. You don't have to create reports.
This is the thing that's going to freak out people at Flurry and... in Mobi and perhaps even Google Analytics, this is their bread and butter, is being able to cross-reference all the behavioral data they collect on how we use apps, and now Facebook's going to do that and more.
Of course, Apple's own iAds has been kind of a flop. And if you're a developer and you've got a choice...
A few lines of code, you can have a really relevant ad set come into your system. You can have the power of all of those campaigns brought to you, all of that matching, all of that targeting, making it into your app. So your ads, rather than being interrupting to your experience, are actually a part of the experience.
This is the promise of targeted ads, but it has not been delivered upon by anybody, especially Facebook.
That's right.
Again, just a few lines of code to access...
Facebook sometimes even has trouble knowing what language I speak.
Yeah.
Seems like that'd be a pretty easy problem to solve.
And
speak English, Facebook.
Invest a little bit more time. We encourage you to work with us on native advertising. We have pioneered this space on mobile and made advertising amazing. Because it's
by native advertising, do they mean native advertising?
I hope they don't mean native advertising.
I don't think they do. Native advertising is a
like
buzzword.
Native content.
Right.
Yeah.
What it basically in advertising circles means something that's kind of like editorial content, like an article, and then you put it...
I think that's what she means.
Really?
Let's listen.
You know, that's a really interesting target set. And you know where we found those people? We found them on the Huffington Post and dozens and
the
dozens
of
other apps.
Native content.
But you know, Target didn't have to go reach out to a bunch of apps. And Huffington Post didn't have to set up a bunch of campaigns for them either. It all came together through the Facebook system. It is the best experience for advertisers because they're getting the ROI that they're looking for. And Huffington Post has an easy time getting these ads in their system. Coca-Cola came to us and they said, we would love to have people who look like the people who already use our app. We have a great audience. We really love them. We want more of them. And they found that audience and Vinted, a vintage clothing site.
I see.
Again, Vinted didn't have to go out there and set anything up.
So Coke came to them and said, who else drinks Coke or could drink Coke?
That's right.
And so as a developer, they're getting the best return on investment. And finally, Audible came to us and they said, we want fans of Game of Thrones because we want to get them to come and listen to Game of Thrones on our site. They found them in Cut the Rope. And because the ads are relevant and interesting,
I'm not sure why Game of Thrones is relevant to Cut the Rope, but I'll take that as read. I'd
cut the head off, maybe.
Yeah. That's what we're bringing together today.
That is odd.
This is, in a nutshell, the problem with targeted advertising.
But, you know, in their defense, that's a doable form of user data.
It is.
Who likes
if they
Game
do
of
it
Thrones.
Right.
They can. They know who likes Game of Thrones.
Cut the That's Rope seems like a very broad brush.
Yeah.
Counterintuitive, isn't it? The kind of insights these advertisers figure out, but
maybe they're accurate.
Sources, yeah.
Yeah. It's their money, right, Parmi?
Well, this could be potentially where Facebook gets things wrong. If advertisers, they're going to flock to this. They're already really excited about it. But if they feel like they're not getting a good return on their investment, relative to some of the other ad networks that are already very popular, then, you know, it could be too much promise and too little delivery on the promise, the big promises they're making today.
Right. That's always the key. You've got to provide a return on investment.
That's right. Mark Zuckerberg is back on stage.
That we're going to help you monetize in a serious way on mobile.
And Mark, you know, just a tip, don't stand in front of a green screen too long. You're just begging.
Personalized ads to people. He can't see the
Photoshop.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know. It's all blue. Thank you.
There, I put him on top of a bridge URL.
Just that easy, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. People can have some fun with that one now.
No kidding. No, people will have fun with that one.
Just a tip, Mark.
But one thing you didn't hear was some completely new shiny direction or product from us. Because today,
maybe he's going to announce a shiny new product.
This is why we stay tuned.
Facebook second.
And deepening how we support you in these
taking bets
fundamental ways to help you build, grow, and monetize your apps. So, keeping with this year's theme of stability and consistency, I want to close today by inviting you all to next year's F8. We're moving to
3-hour tour. Oh, I thought that was
we're on a boat, bitch. I'm baby.
Cooler, hopefully. But you can expect from now on for us.
Fort Mason's actually a beautiful spot.
The same time every year.
I don't know how big it is, and that's an interesting point. They haven't had an F8 in 3 years. Now we're going to do this every year.
Yeah.
With one final story today.
Okay, final word.
This has been
one more thing.
An interesting period of it's been a reflective period for me personally. We just reached Facebook's 10th anniversary as a company, and in a couple of weeks, I'm turning 30. You know, who doesn't like a birthday?
I thought he already turned 30.
I thought he did too, but I guess not. No, he's the richest guy under 30.
Just a little while ago, I just also celebrated the 10-year anniversary of when I met my wife for the first time. So it's so it's been this really interesting period to reflect on. You know, the past decade, which has been amazing, and you know what's important in life and. You know, things like family and Facebook for me and philanthropy and, you know, what's here for
Internet.
Us for the
org.
Next decade ahead. And, you know, on Facebook's 10th anniversary, we brought the whole company together and we talked about our culture. And we talked about how, you know, we have this really strong hacker culture at Facebook. Now, it's helped us accomplish so much, right, and helped us connect so many different people. But we also talked about how our hacker culture is inherently focused on us, right? And it's the way that we do things. It's not really that focused on the people we serve. And, you know, to reach the next level and to fully achieve this mission of helping to connect everyone in the world, my goal for our culture over the next 10 years is to build a culture of loving the people that we serve that is as strong, if not stronger, than our culture of hacking at Facebook. And I hope that you can see the seeds of some of this today in what we're talking about. You know, we want to build a platform that's reliable and stable for you. That's really important to us. We want to make sure that we put people first in all of the different experiences that we offer and ship. And we want to help you guys touch more people's lives. You know, we've already done so much together, and you know, I'm really confident that this path forward is the way to connecting and improving every person's life in the world. It's an honor to serve you guys in this mission. Thank you for coming to F8, and I'm looking forward to seeing what we all build together.
Mark Zuckerberg saying, as I turn 30, I want Facebook to build a culture of loving the people it serves that's as strong as its hacker culture. I think he's setting the right tone. That's a Larry Page moment.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, one of the themes is to show or at least ask people to trust Facebook because this whole program that they are announcing depends entirely upon people trusting Facebook with their information, with their money. And it's a great direction. I mean, for them, rather than the, you know, sort of get it by force approach that they have been accused of taking in the past. So it was a nice humble tone there at the end. And I also have to say that his presentation skills have gotten much better. He seemed very relaxed on stage.
Previous Facebook keynotes in F8 even have been much smaller venues. This looked like a very, where was it, do you know?
I don't.
Very large venue.
Somewhere nearby.
They announced that they will be doing F8 yearly from now on, and Fort Mason will be its new venue. But the real key, and this was really a developers conference, is Facebook offering a consistent and stable, those are two of the themes, platform for developers to put their apps on that will become part of a Facebook ad network, or at least that'll be one of the possible things they can do with it. They were going to provide affordable back-end tools, cross-platform tools, a stable platform, and trust. And it's an interesting mix. I'm going to get out of here because you want to finish up
Technews
today,
and
I'm going to get ready for Windows Weekly just around the corner. Again, a note, we know our website's down. You don't have to let us know. It's up now. We've got it up. Thank you. Thanks to Bear and our ops team for working so hard on that. Of course, it's up now that this is over, but that's how life is sometimes. I'm going to go over in the other place and get ready for Windows
Thank you so much, Leo. Appreciate it. Well, let's go ahead and do some news. If you're still with us, Zach and Parmi, we're going to go through some news and I'd get some of your comment on some news of the day. The first bit of news today is that Google launched Google Docs and Google Sheets for both iPhone and iPad today. And, of course, this is something that comes in the wake of Microsoft launching their own app suite on iOS. Some people might see this news and say, wait a minute, people have been using these products on iPhones and iPads in the past, but in fact what they've been using is Google Docs. Now these are discrete apps for the first time, and they're not all that different. I tried Google Sheets this morning on my iPad. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit better, but it's not a lot better. I couldn't find the comment feature, for example. They do have some of the features that are missing in the Docs version, but so far it seemed like I left me kind of wanting more. Parmi, what do you think about this? Is this something that is going to enable them to compete with all the other options on iOS for productivity suites?
Well, I'm sure it's going to be seen as a competitor to some of the services that you can get from Dropbox and from Apple. But if you don't mind, I actually have to run out. But can I make one point about the Facebook just announced at the developers conference?
Please do.
Just before I head out, I thought it was really interesting that we were talking about platforms, and someone on your show said just at the very, very beginning of the conversation, Facebook no longer is just this monolithic one website that everybody has to be on. And it's really interesting when you think about the concept of a platform. It's not just a desktop or a single gateway anymore. What Facebook is really doing here is, as you were saying, giving these tools to developers that they can use in the back end. And when these developers use these tools, they are indirectly connecting to the Facebook platform and bringing their users into the Facebook universe. So I think that's a really interesting kind of subtle way of creating a platform, rather than you must come onto the Facebook platform through our gateway or through our website. Instead, here are the tools, the incentives to developers to connect to Facebook, to help them monetize, to help them identify their users, And in so doing, over time, creating this kind of much more nebulous kind of platform that users start to interact with more and more. So they're not actually seeing Facebook. They're interacting with their apps, but they're actually doing so on the Facebook platform without really kind of knowing it. It's all happening in the background. I thought that was a really interesting approach.
Well, thank you for joining us, Parmi Olson. I really appreciate all the time. We gobbled up about an hour and 10 minutes of your time this morning, and that's quite a bit, and I appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely.
All right. You can find Parmi Olson on Twitter at Parmi and also on the Forbes website. All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it. Interesting news about the smartphone industry from IDC this morning. IDC pointed out that Samsung has actually shipped more smartphones in the first quarter of this year than Apple, Huawei, Lenovo, and LG combined. And this is kind of a major bit of news, but the even bigger news Zach, is that the Chinese upstarts Huawei and Lenovo are gaining, while Apple and Samsung, the industry leaders, are losing. So specifically, smartphones accounted, by the way, for 62.7% of all mobile phone shipments. Samsung decreased market share by 1.7%. Apple lost 1.6%, both in the same ballpark. Huawei and Lenovo gained 0.6 points and 1 point, essentially. So small gains, big losses for the leaders, small gains for the Chinese upstarts. And this is really the future, isn't it? This is what we're going to be facing. These aggressive Chinese companies are really going to be taking on the global leaders, Samsung and Apple.
Yeah, it's still a game of Apple and Samsung. I mean, they're overwhelmingly ahead. But it is interesting to see Lenovo, especially with their acquisition of Motorola. They're going to become, I think, a much bigger player in the future based on that acquisition. But it's still it's like over the past few years, it's been a game of Apple and Samsung. And you see things like with Apple moving into China, major carriers there, they're going to have some growth throughout this year. And especially as they release new products in the fall. And Samsung already released their new smartphone for the year a few weeks ago. But it is interesting to see smaller players pick up some the share.
Well, in a second, we're going to hear from one of our viewers/listeners. But first, I want to tell you about our other sponsor, which is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter has a really powerful service if you hire people. And if you do hire people, if you have a small business or if you're a hiring manager, you know that hiring people in who you hire is really, literally, the most important decision you make as a hiring manager. The reason is that the people and the quality of the people and whether they're qualified and motivated and all the other qualities you're looking for make or break your company or your group or your division or your team. And so you really want to hire the best people and you don't want to mess around with inferior services. And that's why you should use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter enables you to post to 50 plus job boards all with a single click. And they also scour and post your information on the social networks. These include LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Google+. So you really go to where all the job candidates are, and then they come to you. The problem is that if you're casting such a wide net, you're going to get lots of candidates, both qualified and unqualified, and ZipRecruiter helps you with that part as well. What they do is they automatically highlight the best candidates for you so you can screen them, rate them, and then hire the right person fast without waiting through the unqualified candidate. So try ZipRecruiter and find out what they've been used by more than 100,000 businesses. Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for a free 4-day trial by going to ZipRecruiter.com/TNT, ZipRecruiter.com/TNT. And we thank ZipRecruiter for their support of Tech News Today. Use ZipRecruiter. That's the way to hire the best candidates. Well, a Tech News Today fan named Henry posted a note for us on Google+ this morning. And what he said was he was responding to a comment I made, which kind of dismissed the value of fitness trackers. I suggested it was a fad that would go away because they really don't do all that much. But he said the following: as a user of fitness trackers, in my case, the Fitbit Flex, I felt that I had to respond to your recent comments on Tech News Today. I continue to use the device even after establishing the new, more active lifestyle because it provides me feedback that helps keep me going. Its utility did not end when I first reached my goal. In addition, the wearable feature is useful. It allows me to see how I'm doing with very little hassle and without having to get out and unlock my phone. When I'm out on a walk, that can be very helpful. And yeah, there is a motivating factor to it, but I fear, and you know, you have a good point, as long as they're inspiring you to get more exercise and that sort of thing, they're obviously of value. I just believe that this sort of functionality is going to become commonplace. It's going to be built into phones. Increasingly, it's going to be built into smartwatches and other devices, clothing, you name it. It'll get to the point where knowing how much exercise you're getting is going to be very easy to do, and you won't have to go buy a dedicated device like the Fitbit Flex in your case. Zach, I want to thank you for coming on Tech News today. It's really great to have your insights, and I've appreciated all your articles over at 9 to 5 Mac on Facebook and other topics. So thanks again for coming on.
My pleasure.
All right, Zach, thanks. Thank you so much. And we want you to subscribe to Tech News Today at twit.tv/TNT. And we also want to hear from you. One way we can hear from you is by using the, if you use the hashtag Tech News Today on Twitter or Google Plus, we'll make sure that we see that post wherever it is. And we also invite you to send us an email at tnt@twit.tv or leave us a voicemail by calling 260-TNT-SHOW. And please don't miss our evening newscast, Tech News Tonight, at 4 p.m. Pacific tonight and every weeknight. My name is Mike Elgin. Thanks for tuning in to this special edition of Tech News Today on Facebook's F8 Developers Conference. We'll see you tomorrow.